going today. For many of you know that we are in the middle of a series called The Face of Fear. We've been talking about what it looks like to deal with the fears that we have and what scary situations that we might be dealing with, that you and I might deal with on a regular basis. Last week, we started looking at this this passage, and I couldn't get through everything. It got good to me. I looked up and I realized that my time was up and I couldn't get through the whole message. So we're just going to pick up where we left off. All this last week was just a commercial break, and now we're back to our regularly scheduled programming already in progress. Mark chapter 4, picking up at verse 35. Let's read it as we go. It'll be on the screen for you as well as we read along. Mark chapter 4, picking up at verse 35. On the same day, when evening had come, he said to them, Jesus is speaking, "Let us cross over to the other side." Now, when they had left the multitude, they took him along in the boat as he was, and other little boats were also with him. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat. And so it was already filling, but he was in the stern asleep on a pillow. And they awoke him and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" Then he arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said to them, "Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith?" And they feared exceedingly and said to one another, "Who can this be, that even the wind and the sea obey him?" Last week, we started this message. This is part two of this message called The Right Kind of Fear. The Right Kind of Fear. As we read this passage, we see the word fear pop up twice towards the end, right there in verses 40 and 41. The same word, fear or fearful, pops up twice. The issue is the first time the word is used, it's used differently than the second time the word is used. When Jesus looks at his disciples and says, "Why did you fear?" He's talking about the type of fear that means to be cowardly or to be timid or to lack confidence. He's disappointed in them that they feared. But then the very next verse, verse 41, says, "And they feared exceedingly." It's the same English word, but it's a different word in the original Greek language. The word is different. That fear is a different kind of fear. It's the right kind of fear. It's the type of fear that means to be in awe or to have great respect or reverence. So what's happening here is Jesus is talking to the disciples, as he probably wants to get across to us as we talk about our fears, is make sure when you have fear, you got the right kind of fear. Some of y'all remember, if you missed last week's message, you got to get the CD, you got to go online, you got to catch up because you're a little bit behind if you didn't get here last week or didn't listen to the message, because we talked last week about how my wife, First Lady, likes to send me to the stove. She sent me to the stove. She gave me a list and tell me go to the stove. Sometimes I'll come back with the right stuff, but sometimes I'll also come back with the wrong stuff. She should have figured out by now that she shouldn't send me to the stove. But she does. She does it anyway. She does it anyway. So she'll send me out the house, tell me go get some cheese. And she'll have a certain type of cheese in mind. And when I come back with the spray can of cheese that you put on the crackers, she said, "I thought I told you to get cheese." And I said, "Look in the bag, baby. The cheese is in there." And she said, "Well, Bobby, you got cheese, but you got the wrong kind of cheese." And for many of us, we have fear. The problem is we have the wrong kind of fear, the wrong kind of fear that's scared of our situations rather than an awe and a reverence for God. So the message is that we need to trade our fear for faith. We need to trade our fear for faith, or another way to say it is we need to trade our worry for worship. Okay? We got to have the right kind of fear that is in awe of God, because we understand that God is bigger than my problems. So my fear or my reverence or my awe should be on God. A few weeks ago, the message was focus on the Father rather than your fears, because your God is bigger than your situation. The problem is we get the wrong kind of fear because we're looking at the situation and how the situation is bigger than me, rather than looking at God and how God is bigger than the situation. Are y'all with me so far? So how do I trade my fear for faith? How do I trade my worry for worship? Last week, we remembered, the whole message was on the fact that we should remember that the whole thing was Jesus' idea in the first place. Many of our circumstances, many of our situations, though they be difficult and though they be tough, it might have been, if we understand the sovereignty of God, it might have been Jesus' idea in the first place. That's what happens in verse 35. It says, on the same day when evening come, Jesus said to them, let's cross over to the other side. Basically saying we have a destination, we have a destiny, and in order to get to the destiny, we got to go this way. And this way, on the way, it might be scary, but in order for us to get where I'm taking us, we might have to go through some scary situations in order to be there, so that when we get there, we can handle it. So for Jesus, he's saying we got to get to the other side. And Jesus being Jesus, I'm sure he knew that between here and there was a storm. Between here and there was a scary situation. But Jesus understands and wants us to understand that even though you got to go through a scary situation to get where you're going is better than the situation, and it is better than where you were. Sometimes, y'all, we get scared and we stay on the shore because where we got to go, there's a storm on the way. But we got to remember it was Jesus' idea. I ain't got time to break it down like I did last week, because if I broke it down like I did last week, this week I had the same problem, and I wouldn't get to what I'm trying to get to this week. But the first thing we got to know is it was Jesus' idea. Here's the next thing we got to remember. If we're going to trade our fear for faith, if we're going to trade our worry for worship, here's another thing that we got to remember. Not only was it Jesus' idea, could it possibly have been Jesus' idea, but it doesn't bother Jesus like it bothers us. Your scary situation doesn't bother Jesus the way it bothers you. All right, let me show it to you. Okay, so check it out. Look at what happens. Verse 37. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat so that it was already filling. But he was in the stern, sleep on a pillow. I like how they point out that Jesus brought a pillow with him. When you bring a pillow with you, you had plans. You planned your nap before. If you brought a pillow with you, every last one of us been on the airplane before, and you got all your carry-on luggage, and your personal item is that pillow that wrap around your neck, because you have every intention before this thing even take off. Jesus brought a pillow with him. So here they are in the middle of their scary situation, and the Bible says in the boat was filling. Windstorm came. The waves were beating up against the boat, and the boat was filling. I haven't been in a whole bunch of boats in my life. I'm not exactly a nautical person, but I kind of understand the problem. If water is inside the boat instead of outside the boat, we got a problem. And the text says, the Bible says that the boat was already filling. And I can imagine the panic and the terror of the disciples when they realized that their boat was filling. Because if the boat keeps filling, then this boat is going down. They're panicking. They're terrified. And Jesus is asleep on a pillow. They're freaking out. They're wigging out. They're pulling their hair out. And Jesus is asleep. Y'all, sometimes the circumstance isn't as scary as the fact that it seems like Jesus is sleeping through the whole thing. Anybody ever felt like that? That you're in a scary circumstance, but it wouldn't be that scary if it didn't seem like Jesus wasn't even present. I can't hear him. I can't see him. It doesn't seem like he's paying attention. It seems like he's asleep on a pillow. It seems like he's not interested in what's going on. And maybe I would be okay if it didn't seem like Jesus was disinterested in what's going on with me. because he doesn't respond the same way that I respond. He doesn't wig out the same way that I wig out. And so they wake him up. They say, Jesus, they wake him up from his sleep, from his nap. And here's the question. Jesus, don't you care that we about to die? Don't you care that I'm going through this circumstance and it's so deep and it's so difficult and I don't know what I'm going to do and I'm trying my best trying to get the water out of my boat? Jesus, don't you care that I'm going through this terrible situation? And here's what happened. They jump all the way to the demise. Notice they don't say, Jesus, don't you care that our boat is filling? They didn't say, Jesus, don't you care that the storm is brewing? Here's what they say, because we always more dramatic than we have to be. Jesus, don't you care that we are in the process of dying? Because we always think our scary situation is already at its demise. Some of you walked into this room already having given up on your marriage. Somebody has walked into this room already have given up on your children. Somebody in here in this room has already given up. You stopped working when you went to work. You just already clocked out. You already decided that you got another job. You're going to get another job, but you ain't got another job. But you've already checked out at a current job, and you're going to mess around and get fired before you get a chance to quit because... I thought I could be real with y'all on a Sunday morning. Jesus, don't you care that we dying? And I would imagine the possibility that Jesus is still asleep because he recognizes what they don't recognize. You ain't dead yet. The circumstance is not over yet. It's not over until God says it's over. It's not perished. You haven't perished until... And here's the thing. If Jesus is in the boat, you probably pretty good. Okay. Y'all don't get it. Let me give it to you like this. Okay, my pastor, Pastor John K. Jenkins Sr., today we celebrate his 26th year in pastoral ministry. I love that man so much. I love being a son of Pastor John Jenkins. Okay, my pastor is a pilot. Like, you keep hearing these stories about pastors with planes. He don't just have a plane. He the one that fly it. Okay, it's not like this luxury jumbo, you know, thing that you hear about on TV. It's, you know, a little putt-putt plane. People be scared to get on it. And he actually flies the plane. And I love flying with him. Everybody don't go on the plane with Pastor Jenkins because everybody, you know, we used to these big jumbo jet joints and he don't have that. So I love hopping on the plane with Pastor Jenkins. And people ask me all the time, don't you get scared on that little four-seater plane that he got? And my response to that question is, I figure as long as I'm on a plane with Pastor Jenkins, I'm pretty safe. Because God might be done with me, but I'm certain that he ain't done with Pastor Jenkins. Y'all ain't rolling with me. So if this plane, I know this plane ain't going down, not because I'm on it, but because Pastor Jenkins on it. Jesus is asleep, and I think we need to understand that this boat ain't going down because Jesus is still on it, and he is not as afraid of this situation as you are afraid of this situation. I know you think that Jesus is running around heaven right now, pulling out his hair, saying, oh my gosh, it's going towards the end of November, and they ain't got the rent money yet. Oh my gosh, I don't know what's going to happen. Oh my God. I know you think that Jesus is running around pulling his hair out because he's just as scared of the situation as you are, but I need you to understand that your circumstance and your situation does not bother Jesus the way it bothers you. How would it look if you and Jesus were scared? One of us got to be all right. Because that's what they're asking. That's what they're asking. The word care is not so much the word care. It's actually the word anxious. It's a Greek word that literally means anxious, meaning, Jesus, aren't you as anxious about this situation as I am? I've been praying to you. I've been talking to you, and you ain't healed this. You haven't changed that. You haven't changed them. You haven't rearranged this situation. I've been praying for 2 whole weeks, Jesus, and you ain't done nothing. You caught that. Jesus, it doesn't bother him the way that it bothers you. Jesus, I want you to be freaked out so I don't feel so bad about me being freaked out. Every wife in here knows that feeling. When you freaked out about a situation and your husband seemed to be chilling. It's like, why aren't you as freaked out as I am? And sometimes, y'all, we got to understand when dealing with our circumstances and our situations, it just simply doesn't bother Jesus the same way that it bothers us. Not that it's not important. It's just that he's more powerful than your situation. And his resolution comes in his timing. And his desire is for you to figure out a way to rest in your storm the way he is. That your faith would be built. Because that's the second question. His first rhetorical question was, why did you fear? The second rhetorical question is, what happened to your faith? Because if you had faith the way I want you to have faith, you would have pulled the pillow and sat down with me. We got to figure out, we got to learn how to rest in our storms, brothers. We got to learn how to rest in our storms, sisters. I know you're going through. I know your marriage is in shambles. I know you don't know how you're going to pay these bills. I know that you are going through difficulty and your circumstance is scary. And I'm not saying ignore it. I'm not saying pretend like it's not existing. I'm not saying that you shouldn't be, you shouldn't steward your situation as best as you possibly can. I just want you to understand that it doesn't bother Jesus the way that it bothers you. And if you can figure out a way, this skill that we got to learn as believers to rest even while we're in difficulty. Don't stress yourself out. Rest even while you're in difficulty. To have faith and trust God that even though I can't handle it because the situation is bigger than me, I can rest in the fact that the situation is not bigger than God. Look at somebody close to you. Say, it don't bother Jesus. It doesn't bother Jesus the same way that it bothers us. So we got to trade our faith for fear. We got to have the right kind of fear. Don't be so afraid that you get the wrong kind of fear. So how can I trade my fear for faith? How can I trade my worry for worship? Number one is to remember that it was Jesus' idea in the first place. Secondly, I got to remember that it doesn't bother Jesus the same way that it bothers me. Here's the next one. Here's the last one. Actually, we almost done, y'all. If y'all got to roll with me on this one, though. Here's the number three. If I'm going to trade my fear for faith, if I'm going to trade my worry for worship, I got to remember that everything is under Jesus' power. Your scary situation, the situation that's causing fear in your life is still under Jesus' power. Okay, let me show you what I mean by that. You got to pick up at verse 39. You got to pick up at verse 39. It says, watch. Then he arose and rebuked the wind. He arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. But he said to them, why were you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? Watch what Jesus does. Watch what Jesus does. Understand that their scary situation, their storm, the thing that they were freaking out about, they were terrified and they were fearful. They were tossing water out of the boat as quickly as they possibly could, but they couldn't toss water out the boat as quickly as water was coming into the boat. They woke Jesus up. He stood up. He got up, and in a moment, he declared his power and sovereignty over their scary situation. In a moment, what they couldn't do with all of their might, Jesus did with a word. Somebody's not catching this thing. What they couldn't do with all of their might, what they couldn't do by doing everything that they could do, what they couldn't do by their might and by their power, Jesus changed it in a word. We got to catch this thing that whatever I'm going through, and that's why I can't leave Jesus on the shore when I go into my scary situation. You got to catch that up. We talked about that last week. That's why I can't leave Jesus on the shore when I'm going through my difficulty. That's why I can't stop pursuing Christ when I go through the most difficult of my circumstances, because he is more powerful than my circumstance. And if I am in the boat and Jesus is not, I definitely will perish. But if Jesus is in the boat, he can fix it in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. But what I'm most interested in, y'all, what I'm most interested in is not that Jesus said something, but specifically what Jesus said and what happened. Specifically what happened and how Mark describes what took place. It's very specific that Mark is, and Mark isn't normally crazy or very, very specific. He's usually moving pretty fast. Mark is actually the shortest of the gospel because he writes this thing like it's a movie script. He's from scene to scene to scene. It jumps really fast. It's an action drama. Mark is an action drama. But right here, Mark is very, very specific. Verse 39, watch what happens. Then he arose and rebuked the wind and spoke to the sea. Did y'all catch that? He arose, he rebuked the wind, and he spoke to the sea. He rebuked the wind, said to the sea, "Peace, be still." That word rebuke means to denounce or to command with a warning. Here's what happens. The first thing he does, there's a storm, and there's a lot of elements of the storm. There's the wind, there's the rain, there's the waves, there's the sea, all types of elements of the storm. But the first thing that Jesus does after he arises is he rebukes the wind. Why? Because the wind is the root cause of the storm. The waves, the sea, the water are the symptoms. So Jesus arises, and what he desires to do in that moment is to go directly to the root cause of the storm rather than dealing with the symptoms. Okay. 20 of y'all on this side got it. Let me catch the rest of y'all up. Okay. Every now and then when the weather shifts, and if I'm not taking care of myself the way I should be, getting my proper amount of sleep, my proper amount of rest, eating right, I will catch a cold. And you know what it feels like and what it's like to have caught a cold. And then you try to, you know, go and do your normal life as normal. But then somebody notices that you have a cold. And here's the first question that they ask. The first question they ask is, "You taking any medicine? What you taking for it? What you taking for it?" And then they're going to try to give you one of their home remedies. Girl, put an onion in a sock and hang it on you over your bed and take a bath in some oatmeal and rub some Vicks on your chest and drink some Tussin, and you'll be just fine. And y'all know it messed me up when I learned that there is no cure for the common cold. We have flown to the moon. And there is no cure for the common cold. But if you go to the Target, like my wife sends me to the Target every now and then, if you go to the Target, there's a whole aisle of medicine, and on the side of it, it says cold and flu. There's no cure for the common cold, but there's all kinds of medicines. And I learned, and you guys know this, we just never really think about it, that there's no cure for the common cold, but there's all kind of medicine. And what the medicine does, the medicine doesn't go to the cold. The medicine serves in order to cover the symptoms. The medicine, whatever medicine that you take, whatever cold and flu medicine that you decide to pick up at the Target down the cold and flu aisle, that medicine only serves to deal with the symptoms, but it cannot do anything about the common cold. And we're cool with that, and we're willing to spend ridiculous amounts of money on these medicines, or what we call medicines. Really what they are cover-ups, because you know as well as I do, I'm cool having a cold. My problem is the symptoms. I would be cool having a cold if I didn't have the sniffling, sneezing, coughing, aching, stuffy head, fever. So I bop all this NyQuil because I'm okay with the cold. I'm okay with the root issues. Really, what I really want you to do, Vicks, what I really want you to do, Tylenol, what I really want you to do is I want you to deal with the symptoms, because I can get through with the, as long as I don't have to deal with the symptoms, I'm cool with the cold. The problem is we take the same mindset into our lives, and we want God to deal with the symptoms of my storm rather than go into the... Many of us want Jesus to fix the symptoms, but it's too painful. We won't let him get to the root cause. And we mistake the root causes of our issues. It may have physical symptoms, but the root cause is spiritual. And when Jesus arises in your storm, I need you to understand that his expectation and his desire is to get to the root cause. You want him to fix the symptoms. He wants to get to the root cause. And I need you to understand, it might be a little bit more painful when he goes to your heart issues rather than just dealing with your symptoms. I got relationship issues, Jesus. I want you to fix my husband. I want you to tell my wife to do the right thing. Pastor, preach on marriage, and you take the CD home and leave it on the coffee table next to you, on the end table next to me. But we overlook the fact that my relationship issues are not the root cause. They are the symptom. The real issue is the mommy pain, is the daddy pain, is the previous relationship that I went through. It's my sexual promiscuity from my past. It's the fact that I didn't have a daddy growing up, so I don't know how to be a husband or a father because nobody was responsible enough to show me how. It's the last person that abused me mentally, physically, emotionally, and now I don't know how to give or receive love, because all I know how to do right now is protect myself, because my expectation of you is that you're going to do the same thing that the last person did. And now I've never dealt with the root causes of my issue, and now I want my relationships to be good, but that's just the symptoms. I got all these money issues, Jesus. I want you to fix my money issues. And what I mean by that is, Jesus, I want you to give me more money. But what I will not do is let you get to the root causes of my money issues, my shopping problem, and my poor money management, and the fact that I don't even have a budget. I don't know what a budget look like. I don't know what a budget smell like. I break out in hives when somebody say the word budget. I have this nervous twitch. I got these root issues that I don't know how to deal with. The root issues is I don't tithe, and I ain't thinking about tithing, but I want you to fix my financial issues, Jesus. So Jesus gets up. Oh man, my time's up. Jesus gets up and he rebukes the wind, and then he speaks to the sea, because the root cause of the storm is the wind. And y'all, it's painful and it takes work, but Jesus doesn't just want to cure your symptoms. Y'all, that's why you thought your problem was over, because the symptoms went away. And then you're frustrated because 6 months later, the same problems pop up. And then you mad at the person because you said, I thought we dealt with this already. And no, you didn't deal with the situation. You dealt with the symptoms, but the root cause is still there. It's all under Jesus' power. He stands up and he speaks directly to the root cause. And then watch this. Okay, I'm going to end with this. Watch what he says. So that's how he said. That's how he dealt with it. But watch specifically what he says. He stood up. He spoke to the wind. He rebuked the wind. He spoke to the waves. And he said, peace. Be still. Peace. Be still. I got to translate that. Be quiet. No, seriously, that's the accurate translation. It sounds real poetic in the King James Version and New King James Version, but really what he's saying is, hush, hush, hush. Be quiet. Here's what I love, y'all. I love that Jesus talks to the storm like I talk to my children. That's exactly how I speak to my kids. I love that Jesus speaks to the storm the same way that I speak to my kids. At our house, I know this is surprising to you, but at our house, things can get loud. We got three boys. Things get like, look, and me. We got four boys, really. Things can get loud at our house. But the difference between me and First Lady, she here, and I can say this, and I don't think I'm going to get in trouble by saying this. The difference between me and First Lady is I sleep through anything. The boys could be flipping over everything and crashing. Y'all wear me out enough that I sleep through everything. But my wife is a much lighter sleeper than I am. And when my boys get loud, it's annoying to her. It's not so annoying to me because, you know, I got this. All daddies have this unique skill. I don't know where we get it from. God gave it to us. It's a blessing to us. All daddies have this unique skill that we can tune out anything. We can, brothers, get with me. Come on, brothers. We can, y'all don't want to clap because your wife, your girlfriend's next to you and you know it get on her nerves. But we can just tune you straight out. I wish I had a nickel every time First Lady was like, "Do you hear your son right now?" No, but boy, what you say? We can just tune it out. We can tune it out. But she can't. She can't. Her mommy instinct. She can't tune it out. It's this intuition that God gave her. She can't tune out when her children are in trouble or just making noise. She can't tune it out. So what happens at our house is I can pick up. I may be able to tune out my kids, but I can't tune out my wife. And because I'm sensitive, I'm a sensitive husband. Sensitive to the needs of my wife. Admittedly so, for selfish reasons. I can't tune her out. So I always pick up when she's incredibly annoyed that my children are making all this noise. So the boys are making this noise. My wife is incredibly annoyed. I was cool with it until I realized that she was incredibly annoyed. So when I find out that their issues are messing up stuff over here, here's what I do. Here's what I do. I get up. I yell downstairs, "Hush! Be quiet!" Not because you bothering me, but because I love her and you bothering her. That's what Jesus does with our storms. The storm wasn't bothering him. He was perfectly fine cruising right through it. But because he noticed that it was bothering you, he took the daddy approach. And because he loves you, he will speak to your storm. And he has the same authority over your storm that I have over my 7-year-old and my 4-year-old and my 2-year-old. So Jesus will stand up and say, "Hush! Be quiet." It's all under his power. And as long as you're connected to him, you can rest. It's all under his power. And it doesn't bother him. But as long as you are connected to him, he can stand up. And in a moment, deal with your issues. The problem is he never does it on our timetable. He never does it. Very rarely does Jesus respond in the timetable that I want him to respond. But sometimes I got to go through the storm in order to know how powerful he is. Sometimes I got to go through the difficulty in order to know how powerful he really is. One of my favorite songs is a song by James Fortune. It's one of his first CDs. It wasn't it wasn't a single, but it was buried deep down on the CD. You got to go on YouTube and listen to it. You got to go on iTunes and find it. The song goes like this: If I never had a stormy day, then I wouldn't know that you could take all the rain away. If my friends had never walked away, then I wouldn't know that you could take all my pain away. And then the hook goes like this: Thank you for the things that I went through, because I wouldn't know you like I do. Me going through my scary situations, it grows me closer to Jesus. Me going through my scary situations, it helps me to understand exactly who he is and who I'm rolling with. Me going through my scary situations reminds me that he's greater and he's more powerful than what I'm going through. Me going through my scary situations reminds me that he's not freaking out about the situation the way that I'm freaking out about the situation, because he's so much greater than my situation. My situation may be greater than me, but he is greater than my situation. So I should not have the wrong kind of fear. I should have the right kind of fear. The wrong kind of fear is fear of my circumstance and my situation. The right kind of fear is awe and reverence for the God who is bigger than me and bigger than my problems. Come on, let's praise God for how great he is. If my God is for us, who could ever stop us? And if our God is with us, then what can stand against? Lord, thank you for your word that encourages us and empowers us. And I pray for every person here that we would have the right kind of fear, that we would have the type of fear that is in awe and reverence of you, rather than the type of fear that is cowardly and timid because we got to go through difficulty. I pray that you would empower us, God, to continue walking. Your word says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil. Thank you, God, that we're going through and we're not stuck. And that every step we take, every right decision that we make, every time we trust you rather than embracing our wrong kind of fear, is another step through the valley. Empower us. Strengthen us. Keep us. Because so many of us are in scary situations. Help us, God. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand all across the room. We want to open the opportunity for somebody who's been going through a storm, but you haven't been going through it with Jesus.